The Bird Show.
All right, Jeff Dollar, are you ready for your sentence?
Bring it.
All right, you ready?
Bring it.
I think the rest of us just need to sit back and enjoy the ride on this one, okay?
All right.
Ready?
All right. Jeff.
Yes.
Jen Hobby is using the word dating as a verb.
I believe
I thought it was going to be something to do with his contract.
I believe you're hearkening back to the conversation that you had yesterday as I was driving in but couldn't participate in because I wasn't on the show till 7:30, correct?
Jen Hobby is using the word dating as a verb.
No.
Damn.
The problem with the sentence, that's not a factual sentence. What you should have said was, I'm going to tell Jeff a lie and let him go off on it. And the reason Bert knew this would be such a slam dunk is because yesterday, I didn't listen to the show because I don't like it when I wasn't working here. When I drove in yesterday to come back on the radio, you know, all the contract drama, blah, 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 Bert said come in at 7:30. So I was in the shower at like 6:45-ish, I think. And I had a new shower radio for Christmas, so I'm listening to the Bert Show.
We're simple, aren't we?
Yeah, so neat. I'm like, there's water splashing on the radio, but it's still working. Holy crap, that's so awesome. I'm going to have to Twitter this, technology. And I heard you guys talking about Jen Hobby, who's claims to be dating like 13 guys right now.
So that's what you mean by dating
as a... I
didn't
say 13.
You said dating, you're dating as a... You're using the word as a verb, meaning like you're just going to date this guy and that guy and that guy. You don't have to just settle down with one dude.
Well, it was actually when I first, I mean, yes, but when I first said it, it just means that you have to be active about it.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, I'm going to handle this.
Hang on.
So
when it first came up on the show, dating is a verb is because you have to actively do it, right? You can't just sit back on your couch and watch So You Think You Can Dance and expect a whole bunch of guys to show up knocking down your door.
Okay.
It's a verb. Like, you've got to be involved in it. Maybe if you're not meeting the right people, you've got to do different things. Hang out with new friends or go to new places or date online or whatever. But you have to, like, actively do it. You've got to text the guy who called you, you know, 2 days ago. You can't just, like, you know, expect him to keep calling. You know what I'm saying?
Get aggressive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have to participate in the whole, like, dating thing.
Okay.
That was the initial part of it.
Okay, so
that was the initial definition.
So the conversation that I heard was one of Bert asking, you know, telling Jen that she was struggling with a part of herself because, you know, Jen wanted to be, she's a dater. She's dating with a verb.
She dated like a man.
Yeah, lots of people dating.
Date like a dude.
Right.
Yeah.
But she was struggling because of the 14 guys that she's dating. One of them, she wants a ring from. Like, she's
That is not true.
But one of them is.
Shut up.
That is not true.
One of them is a lead horse.
Yes.
And you're struggling dating the other ones.
You talk about, how many links?
Laps.
Yes.
Laps. Right?
Sorry. Like,
yes.
I'm sorry. Let me rest my throat. Sorry.
She just gave you a look. She punched you in the face with her eyes. So if I get any of this wrong, you can correct it, and then I'll correct you correcting
I'm
me.
Not but, exclusively dating anybody.
But you think that you can see that there's definitely a guy that you think you should be exclusive with at this point, particularly in time.
Maybe eventually.
Mm-hmm. Like tomorrow.
So. No.
And that made me so angry because there was...
I love sharing my life on the show, Bert, by the way. This is really going to make
it
easy for you to come in those post-show meetings and say, you know, bring out the intimate parts of your life, Jen. Really, you're not sharing enough with us. Well, this is exactly why.
There's a show that doesn't do that. It's called Steve and Vicky.
You should have... You know what? You thought you were safe because I was not in the
building. I know! It was so much easier to talk about my dating life when you weren't here.
Jen, it's just going to make dating easier, trust me.
Oh, right.
Very easy.
Right, because all the ones I'm currently dating are going to bail.
Right.
Because they don't realize they're in a very distant second, third,
no, they don't. They're all
going
to think they're the lead horse. But this is why it frustrated me so much, because there was a time where it was a couple months ago, and Jen had a friend in from out of town that I also know, and like half a dozen of us end up for one beer at like noon at some tiny random bar, right? And it's 7:30 at night. Now we're all at a restaurant together with like 3 bottles of wine on the table, and I become the wise man on the mountain, right?
Oh, of course. And he was harsh,
tough
too.
I got tough love.
He was to you?
Really harsh,
yeah.
Yes.
And one of the things I said was, you are, and Melissa brought this term up yesterday, a serial monogamist.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, here's the problem is with that is you said one of the things you said yesterday, and if I wish I'd known the sentence was coming so I could go listen back to it and get the exact line. But you said something yesterday that you're like, there's just one that I like more than the others, right?
Right now, yeah. Right,
which is fair. But if you commit to that one and get the ring that you're hoping for.
That is not true. Stop saying that.
If you commit to that one, right, then you never get a chance to sample any. There's 2 million guys in this city, depending on who you're talking to. The ratio is 72-4 and, well, you know, whatever. But there's a zillion. There's a lot of items on the buffet.
That's true.
A lot.
And there are.
And right now, you're just at the bacon, sausage, ham station, right? And you've decided that you really like the bacon. But you haven't even gone down to where the crepes are.
No, I think Jen's at the filet. I mean, she's got a filet, and then there's a couple of like mashed potatoes and some green beans on the plate. But the filet is the best.
Right. Say so. If you got this grade A piece of meat,
right?
Why would you go with B, C, and D meat?
Absolutely.
Because it's I think. That's funny. When Jen was married, she got married at 13. And are engaged at 13 or whatever, but it was in one relationship since the dawn of time, and then got into another one or whatever. And at one point I heard some crap yesterday of her saying, oh, there was 4 months between, whatever, liar to yourself. 4 months, show those to me on a calendar, and then give me your cell phone bill too so I can line some stuff up. Liar. So the entire time, so all I'm saying is you spent one whole, you're at the breakfast buffet. You spent a big chunk of your life having alphabets every morning, right?
Right.
Then you spent some time since then going back and forth between scrambled eggs and some pancakes, right? You had some scrambled eggs in there for a minute. Then you went to pancakes for a while. And now you've moved on.
Now I'm ready for sausage.
To sausage. But you've moved on.
Just kidding. That was too easy.
Right.
Okay,
but
keep going.
That's where you are now. So you're moving down the buffet and you're at that little section, little sausage, whatever section. But there's so much more. There's so, look down there.
There's
look
pastries at
the,
and
don't
fruit.
Don't you see the donuts?
Orange juice.
The donuts are
Bloody
bad
Marys
for you.
What about the little toaster station? You haven't even got through the little
donuts
conveyor belt
are
toaster.
Bad for
but
you.
Her point is, if she is right now happy with grade A sausage, then why go ahead with the other stuff if she's so content with grade A sausage?
She hasn't even tasted the French toast.
She doesn't like it.
She hasn't even tasted it. She doesn't know that. She doesn't know that.
There's some things you just don't like.
She is declaring, name a place in the world that you've never been to. India.
Yes.
She's right now saying, I hate India. Based on what? I hate traveling to India. Really? If somebody came to you and said that sentence, if Bert, I came to you and said, I hate traveling to India,
right.
You would say to me, how can you say that? You've never been to India. And I'm like, I know, but I have been to South Carolina, and I know India sucks on South Carolina.
Isn't the better analogy that she'd like to travel and see the world, but she's landed in Italy, and she's like, you know what? I'm content here.
Welcome to Holland.
I don't need to see anything else. Italy's great. It's fantastic.
I'm not saying that, by the way. All I was saying yesterday was that it's difficult for women, I think, to date multiple people at the same time.
I agree with
That's
that.
That's all I was saying, is that I am, but it's not necessarily the easiest decision to make. And we had guys call up and say that if the lead horse knows you're dating somebody else, it doesn't always mean they're going to be more interested.
We have to talk in generalizations here.
Right, but I'm not talking about the...
And the generalization is that in the beginning of a relationship, if you're juggling a couple of different dudes, if the lead horse knows that you're not available because you're out on a date with somebody else, it just makes you the hotter commodity.
But see, we had calls yesterday saying that's not the case.
We're talking about two separate things. Like, I don't envy being a girl and having to date a lot of guys because that is... I think there's an internal thing in women where they got to be monogamous and whatever. So if that's like, that's tough. Like, I think that's really tough for women to handle the way guys date, you know, like see one person on Thursday, another person on Friday, another person on Saturday, and not feel guilty about it or slutty. And depending on how far you went with them.
I mean, she's comfortable with that, right?
So I think that's two different things. The problem is, like, I think right now you're looking at the limited selection. You're looking through a crack in the fence. You're looking at the little short part of that buffet. You're looking at that right there, and you're saying, God, this right here is great. This is what I want. But you have to turn your head and look down.
But what if it, but
well, why? So that I can be single forever?
No.
I mean, dude, I'm 32. Like, I'm not Wendy's age. Like,
Jen's on the move.
Melissa, Bert, like, which one of you want to address the 32 reference as being very old?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's old. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, I don't want to date for forever.
What? How about, I don't know, let's not go with forever. Let's go
5
with
months?
12 months. 1 year.
How do you know there's not somebody with greater air sausager out there?
I don't. And I'm not making that decision yet. I'm dating multiple people.
Right
there's
now.
There's just a lead person.
Right.
Right.
Who I'm just, I think.
Do you have dates set up with multiple people this weekend?
Bert, you're not allowed to ask me those questions on the air.
Trying to establish if you're seeing just lead horse this weekend or not.
That means she is.
She can't say. Perhaps. Well, she can't
because
say. You're
not comfortable.
I'll defend her on that because they may be listening.
Okay. Oh, because and that's what I'm trying
they
to
may
say
be listening.
Is that it won't matter. But it's okay. I'll respect that.
Let me ask one question. When you go out with one, do you call lead horse after you're on the dates
no.
with the others? Okay.
No.
Because when you're at that point.
You're kind of getting defensive.
she texts
well,
him from under the table.
I just can't, like, give you my calendar schedule.
Yeah, I wouldn't
talk about that. Like, there's
calendar schedule. No, she can't talk about
what
this
what she's
weekend.
Saying is if she says yes or no, and she is seeing any one of them this weekend.
They'll know.
Or multiple, then they're all going to think that they're the yes or the no. She can't answer that.
And what I'm saying is, even if they know that you're dating other people, it's still going to be okay. Because you're in this very new part of the relationship.
But I think Jen wants to make that decision on her own mm-hmm. instead of doing it on the air, mm-hmm. just spontaneously.
Instead of letting Jeff make it for her.
Right. But no, the reason I asked that question is because we talked yesterday, and I said that I'm a serial monogamist. And when I was, started to date Katie Jo, I was seeing other women. And I knew, the moment I knew that I needed to cut the other ones loose was as I was leaving one date, I called Katie. Mm. So that's when I knew that, look, if I'm calling her after the date, mm-hmm. then what's the point of me spending mm-hmm. the past 2 hours with that other person? And what we established yesterday is there's serial monogamy, mm-hmm. in which I admitted that I am that person. And then there's women who are not. And so different women are comfortable with different things. And so what we were giving Jen a hard time about was just saying one thing
being
and being
able
another.
To admit it.
That's it.
My thing is, I think mine truly comes from, believe it or not, a place of friendship where I think you owe it to yourself to take a period of time to not even think that one person is a lead horse. I don't know how you do it.
I appreciate that advice. No, I definitely do. I take that to heart. I know that I have always been from a relationship to another relationship, and there's definitely something that scares me about that.
Jen and I, this is awkward too, because we normally have these conversations after the book club when we drink our bottle of wine, and I'm helping her clean up from what we baked. So this is, it's weird to have this girl talk on the radio. But
I have a funny feeling.
Oh, and trust me, after some beers at the restaurant where we were, Jeff was much more harsh than he has been this morning.
Is that right? He was really coming down on you.
He was really, really harsh. I woke up the next day like, ouch.
Yeah, it obviously worked.
Ouch.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Listen.
All right,
that's cool. The Bert Show. Get it? The Bert Show.
So last night, we got to meet the Bert's Big Adventure 2010 families for the very first time. And we meet up every year at Imagine It about 4 or 5 weeks before the trip starts.
That's the Children's Museum downtown.
Yeah, it's a great place if you haven't been yet. And we get to meet the families and we get to educate the parents on what the trip is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great night for us because now these names are people and their stories become real. And we've got another stellar group going this year.
Oh, there's some amazing kids last night. I enjoyed hanging out with all of them last night, especially these two girls.
Cute.
Cameron and Kaylee.
Wendy, you need to have kids like yesterday.
I know.
You're so
you
cute
are very
night.
Maternal.
You know, she doesn't want kids, though.
No, I don't want kids right now. I don't know if I ever want kids, but I love children to pieces.
These two kids that Wendy is talking about right now, I'm not exactly sure the name of the condition they have, but I believe those are the two kids that can get a fracture like that. Like each of them have gone through like 60 or 50 fractures. So if they just move wrong in a chair, they get a fracture.
Whoa.
And they've had it since
birth.
I don't know.
Is it called brittle bone?
Something like that. I don't have the applications right here in front of me.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, think about that. I mean, when we talk about Bert's Big Adventure, we say that we take children down to Disney World that have chronic and terminal illnesses. So these are kids that are sick from day one or every day. This mom is like, she's got to be nervous all day long.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
All day long. So the trip really is for the entire family. Mm-hmm. We just got a bunch of great kids. We've got one story, unfortunately. We found out a couple of days ago that the mom on the trip, 40 years old, just found out that she's dealing with stage 4 cancer.
Yeah. Awful. You're kidding.
40 years old.
Oh, man.
Awful.
So that family, you know, I said to my wife, Stacy, the other day, sometimes we don't know why the families are picked until something like this happens, and then we realize why they're on the trip. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's sort of a complicated application process, and after we found that out, obviously it made sense why they're on the trip. So we've got a bunch of great families. There are 13 families that are going again on Bert's Big Adventure this year. And as I say every year, this trip is not going to get any bigger than it is at 13 families. We purposely keep it this small because we as a staff want to get to know them. We want to hang out with them in the parks. We want to eat with them. We don't want them just to be numbers or hotel rooms. We really want to get our hands dirty and connect with these families and make sure they're connecting with each other. Because mm-hmm. I know there are two other organizations in the country that take a similar trip. But in my opinion, the trip has gotten so big that they sort of say, okay, we're taking you to Disney World, and then the gates open, and then the families are on their own. That's not our trip.
No, we're definitely all paired up with different families. We've got a great medical staff that gives lots of close attention to them. And we've been to Disney every single year, so we're kind of Disney experts at this point. Mm. We can tell them which way to maneuver around the park to see the most things and where to go to meet these type of characters or where to go to meet the princesses and that kind of thing. So we try to serve as Disney ambassadors as we're down there and help them maneuver through the parks and that kind of thing. So they really get the most out of their days down there at Walt Disney World. And they're not, you know, standing in line the entire time.
Here is Leo. Good morning, Leo. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning, Bert and Bert Show. But the disease I think you're talking about is osteoinfecta. Samuel L. Jackson played it in a wheelchair opposite of the guy from Pulp Fiction.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. That's the movie.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay.
Just give you an update. That's all.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
I mean, it's funny. You talk to the parents about what their children have, and at some point, some of the parents, they click in from like mommy mode almost into like doctor or nurse mode. It feels like you're talking to a doctor. So I'm sure the mom will come on and she'll tell us exactly what that's all about. They've had so many surgeries. And just imagine every day you're around your child, you're nervous that they're going to get hurt somehow, some way. When you have a child that's had 50 different fractures or 60 different fractures, you're a nervous wreck, right?
No kidding. Well, and you know, every time we talk about Bert's Big Adventure and we start getting into sort of the lead up to the trip, listeners want to know what they can do and how they can help and how they can donate money or donate things that we need for the trip and that kind of stuff. Is that list online?
You can go to bertsbigadventure.org and we have a wish list up there. I mean, money, I could always use money.
Right.
But if you want to give us other stuff like, let's see, we've had a need in the past for phone cards. Mm-hmm. We've had a need in the past for like sunblock, smaller items. Like if you don't have a lot of money to give, but you want to give something, the whole list is up online.
Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff because we just spoil them rotten. We have backpacks full of different like toys and games and things to keep the kids busy while we're traveling and en route to Disney World. So if you want to participate in that way, it's up online for you.
All right, let's introduce you to some of these families that are going on Bert's Big Adventure 2010 because you guys are the ones that have paid for them, right? This is the trip. I mean, this is all 13 families right here. And what I do is I call them a couple of weeks beforehand and I tell them they're going on the trip. And here's the reaction from some of the families. Hey, LaToya. It's Bert calling from Q100 and Bert's Big Adventure again.
Hi.
Can you tell me what Tremaine has and how it affects him every single day?
Tremaine has intestinal meningectasia. Basically, the meals that he eats, he kind of loses them through his gut.
And you were telling me that, I mean, this kid could really use a break. His dad passed away, right?
Yes, in 2006. I mean, holidays are just really, really hard for us.
Well, I think I have a gift for you to share with your family today that's going to make it easier to be a little bit more positive.
Really?
Yeah, you guys have been selected to go to Disney World on Bert's Big Adventure. Totally serious. We're taking all you guys to Disney World, and we're taking the family. We're going to pay for everything. You won't have to worry about a thing all weekend.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jacob, it's Bert from Q100 and Bert's Big Adventure.
Hey, Bert.
How's Dominic doing?
He's doing well. He went to school. We held him out of school yesterday because he was just feeling a little down.
Weren't you telling me, like, he had some kind of crazy amount of surgeries, like, the first year that he had the kidney problems?
I mean, seriously, he probably had, in his lifetime, he's probably had about 20 or 30 different surgeries. You know, he's a go type kid. And, you know, we have to get him to do something else to take his mind off of, you know, like going out and running around if he's not feeling well.
Well, then I'm afraid that I have a very, very big challenge to present you today.
Okay.
I don't know how you're going to get him to stop running when he's at Disney World, because you guys have been selected as a Burt's Big Adventure family.
Are you kidding me?
You guys are going to Disney World.
Oh my gosh, dude, that is freaking amazing.
Hey, Rebecca, it's Bert from Q100 and Bert's Big Adventure.
Uh-huh.
How's Braden doing?
He's actually doing good for the past week.
You sound kind of surprised by that.
He's just normally sick all the time, on and off.
When he wakes up in the morning, he knows he's not going to feel great. I mean, what does that do to his attitude?
Well, that's all he knows is being sick. And so he, you know, if he wakes up feeling good, he's like, Mama, I don't feel good. Can I stay home today?
Well, I'll tell you this. A funny thing happens when you're down at Disney World. Kids that normally aren't feeling good all day long for whatever reason when they're at Disney, all of a sudden they act like healthy kids for 4 days. And I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen to Braden also, because you guys have been selected to be a family for Burt's Big Adventure.
You know what he says every time we put a Disney movie in? He's like, Mom, I want to go see that castle. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Vanessa, it's Bert from Q100 and Bert's Big Adventure.
Hey.
How's Angel today?
She's doing good. She had a bad morning.
What's a bad morning when you're talking about Angel?
Yesterday she fell, and they had to do an X-ray on her device.
What's that device that you were telling me about? Because this is pretty advanced stuff right here.
Sort of like a curtain rod. It attaches to the upper part of her shoulder blade, to the lower part of her rib. It kind of helps her as she grows. It helps her lungs and all her internal organs so they won't collapse on her.
Well, Vanessa, I can tell you this. You can put all this stuff behind you because you guys have been selected to go down to Disney World on Burt's Big Adventure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jessica, it's Bert at Q100 and Bert's Big Adventure.
Hi.
How is Madison doing?
Great.
Tell me again exactly what Madison has.
Spina bifida, where she has the hole in her back and the spinal cord outside.
Okay. And she's how old?
5.
And how does that work at school with other kids? Are they pretty cool to her?
They all love her. She is the only child with, like, really special needs up at the school. So it's a new experience for all of them.
Well, I'm calling to tell you today that you guys are going to be able to experience Disney World together.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you guys are going on Burt's Big Adventure.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Heather, it's Bert from Q100 and Burt's Big Adventure.
Yes, sir.
How's Hunter doing today?
He's anxious on Friday because he has to do his shot in the afternoon. He wanted to wake up and it be Saturday, so he kept asking if he could skip the day, but other than that, he was doing all right.
Well, today is Friday as I'm making this call right now, and I know he's all bummed out. He's got to make that shot.
Yes, sir.
But you can give him good news when the shot is over, and you could tell him that you and he and the whole family have been selected to go to Disney World on Burt's Big Adventure.
Oh, that is so awesome. Thank you.
He's going to need to hear that today.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Oh, that's awesome. He'll enjoy that. He has no clue about any of it. I hadn't even told him.
Hi, is this Christina?
Yes.
Hey, it's Bert from Q100 and Bert's Big Adventure.
Oh, hey.
Tell me about both of your kids, both Callie and Cameron.
They both have osteogenesis imperfecta, which is brittle bones. Kaylee fell out of a chair and broke her leg, like sliding down on the couch. Cameron broke her collarbone. You know, simple things for us that we do could be harmful to them.
Well, Christina, I'm really calling today to let you know that you've got real good info to pass on to your kids when you get home today. You guys have been selected to go to Disney World on Burt's Big Adventure.
Well, thanks. I'm very excited.
Hey, Sandra, it's Bert at Q100 and Burt's Big Adventure.
Oh, hey, Bert.
Tell me again what Steven has and explain exactly what that is.
He was born with spina bifida. Essentially, that's when he's in the womb and the skin is closing up around the spinal column. For some reason, his didn't. But he's only 12 years old, and then he has learning and emotional difficulties. So he looks like big, handsome teenager, but he acts like he's 6 or 7.
Well, you tell him he's wanted the dream. He's had the dream to go to Disney World. And I'm calling you guys today to tell you that dream is going to happen because you guys are going on Bert's big adventure.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. That is just amazing.
So you promised him this was going to be his year. This is going to be his year. He's going to Disney World.
This is so awesome because we didn't even have money to get him anything for Christmas.
Hey, Steven, you excited about going down to Disney World?
Yes, I'm so excited. I almost jumped out of my seat when I heard. Oh, thank you so much.
Precious.
Yes, they all are. So those are the kids and those are the families that you are paying to send on down to Bert's Big Adventure. And that's Dominique Alexander. He's 5 years old and he's from Atlanta. Samin Badai, age 12 years old, from Woodstock. They're actually originally from Iran. They don't speak a lot of English.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Ania Bennett, age 5 years old, from Atlanta. Casey Clemens from Douglasville. Louis Kushni, age 5, going on 23. This is the cutest kid.
Awesome.
Wait till you guys get to know him on the radio. He will be the spokesperson probably for Bert's Big Adventure for the next 10 years. And he's only 5 years old. We've got Stephen Hobson going on the trip. Hey, Stephen, big old Chargers fan. That's why he's going.
Hey.
Riley Cobalt, 10 years old, from Monroe. Braden Plemons, age 5, from Rome. They actually had to stay downtown last night. We put them up. Bert's Big Adventure put them up downtown because they couldn't get back to Rome because all the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I should have done the same thing.
Right? You still have your car today.
Crashed on their couch.
Kaylee Prisk, she's 7 years old, from Stockbridge. She's the girl that we were telling you about that just gets like fractures like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Pruitt is 6, from Cumming. Madison Shipley, 6 years old, from Waleska. TJ Walter from Norcross, and Angel Williams, she's 5 years old, Forest Park. That is Bert's Big Adventure 2010. You guys are going to fall in love with these guys. So we will officially introduce you to them in February. We told them last night, this is the longest 40 days of your life right here.
Definitely.
So funny.
Telling your kids you're going to Disney World, then you got to wait 40 days.
Well, at least all the kids got those countdown clocks so they can not ask their parents every single day. Parents can say, look at your clock.
Yeah, Icebox put together these great countdown clocks, and they digitally count back now to the exact moment that we're leaving for Disney.
Adorable.
So yeah, they really clutched up for us.
You're on The Bert Show. Listen, it's The Bert Show.
If you guys missed the update, the brief update that I gave these guys yesterday on this reality TV show, here's where the whole thing stands. Before we left for vacation, I was approached by the creator of a reality TV show that also created Housewives of Atlanta and Housewives of Orange County. And she said she is putting together a reality TV show here in Atlanta, and she's looking for a bunch of dudes. And she wanted me to consider being on the show.
Boys Club ATL, right?
Yup. And she came over to my house before vacation, and Stacey and I did a on-camera interview that I felt like when she left, I thought, you know what? Things went pretty well. We really opened up there. And then we didn't really have, we just opened up. It really wasn't very difficult for us. So I thought, you know, there may be a shot where she actually calls back and she says, look, you've got a tough decision to make. So since we've been back, Stacey, I've been talking about it a little bit just in case we do get the call saying, look, we want you as part of this reality TV show. And my wife has maintained that she wants to see the contract before we make any decision whatsoever.
Right.
Before we can even really start having hefty debate on it, is you got to see that contract. Like, can you boot him out of the house if you want? Do you have creative control over anything whatsoever? She wants to see that contract, right?
Did you just choke?
Yeah, I choked on my coffee because the answer to that is no.
Well, there is a little wiggle room on there. And Jeff sent me this article about a week ago from CNN. And the title of the article is The Real World of Reality Show Contracts. And I could read a lot of it verbatim, but it basically says what you were choking on is, man, it's all gone. You get on camera there. And they have complete control of what they want to do. It says, while the needs and issues for each show are unique, a typical contract includes 100 reasons why you can't sue, said Eric Goldman, an assistant professor who teaches contract law at Santa Clara. They're also going to try and say, if you're creative enough to come up with the 101st reason, you can't sue for that either. These contracts are usually all-encompassing in their efforts to get participants to waive rights to release claims. You have to sit there in all of your paranoia and think about what possibly could happen if the worst disaster in the world happened, and you have to disclose that in a way so they know what they're waiving and you don't get sued. So basically what this is saying is you just have to absolutely assume that they have your brand, they are marketing you, they can take the smallest thing that happens in your day, and they can shape it and form it any way they want. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Does that... bother you, the brand part of it, like the fact that you have built a brand as Burt Weiss and they can completely alter that brand
in, on a national scale
in 3 months that you've built for in Atlanta for since 2001?
Yeah, of course it scares me. Sure, it's something I thought about, but I also think that if I want to believe that if what you're doing is authentic, then how can they truly manipulate it? But I did give you guys a couple examples the other day of how it certainly can be manipulated. Mm-hmm. You know, I have one meltdown at an employee, and all of a sudden I can be branded as, you know, the harsh boss or whatever, or the crappy dad because I'm only hanging out with my kids, you know, for 30 minutes or 45 minutes on a Tuesday night, you know?
I actually, you told a story a week or two ago about, or a couple, well, I haven't been around for a while. You told a story last month that... about a where they filmed a woman in a bar changing a light bulb when the bar was empty, and she fell off the bar stool and like sat on the floor and laughed, and they edited that to make it look like she was dancing on the bar stool when the bar was open and was hammered and fell on the ground and was laughing about it.
Yeah, her storyline was she was the cast drunk, so they totally manipulated the situation and continued to make her look that way, even though
she
it was shot in the middle of the day. They made it look like it was night and she was in a club.
I heard another I told someone that story because I thought that was really interesting, and they said they had a friend who was on a reality television show, and the reality television show was about there was a woman, but her husband was, you know, a peripheral cast member, whatever that word is, and they would film, he was hard of hearing, and so they would film him talking to attractive women, but he would lean way in every time, and they only, he did that to everybody. So if I had a conversation with him, he would lean, he would apologize and say, I have a difficult time hearing and I haven't given into a hearing aid yet. And he would lean in and you would have to talk if you're in a loud place. They only showed him doing that to attractive women.
Oh,
then
man.
Showed the wife footage of that. And she called them on it and said, you were manipulating the footage. So then they went in and found footage of him talking to unattractive women and guys in not loud places where he never leaned in, and showed her the two pieces back to back.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they only found out about it like a year later when one of the producers admitted, said, fully said, yeah, that's what, that's, they manipulate that. So it looked like, so she went nuts on camera and off, and it was a significant issue for them. Like, he slept on the couch for a while, and he's like, I swear to God, I do it with everybody.
I could see it could make the strongest couples, like, really question what's going on, you know? This article continues to go on and says, the network needs to be able to exploit the material for their purposes, like you just said. There's a big investment in these shows, and they need to be able to use the material, typically in perpetuity. When you agree to that, you also wholeheartedly agreeing to the prospect of being portrayed in an unfavorable light, so they could really do whatever they want with it. Because of that, it's essential that the participant gives a full and complete release of any claims arising. Now, here's the only thing in the article that gave me a little bit of hope, because being on the radio, there's a certain, there's a small amount, but it's a, there is an amount of celebrity attached to this. And unless you're already a celebrity, you don't really have much leverage when it comes to your contract at all. Now, this is going to be a national show. So on a national stage, nobody knows who I am. Most people in Atlanta still don't know who I am. But within our community here, if she really wanted me on the show that badly, there might be some wiggle room. I don't know. It's not mm-hmm. something I've talked to her about yet. So I don't know.
Percentage, what's the percentage of you getting cast?
I really don't have any idea. Based on the text messages that I read you guys yesterday, it felt like she wanted to, but I think she's got to run it by a whole bunch of people out in California. So I have no idea. I don't think anybody that has been has auditioned for it has been called yet.
Okay.
Because we're all pretty tight, and I think we would have called each other. So I don't think there's no way of knowing right now. So it just could be a whole bunch of words and no update. Hey, Michelle, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. One of my concerns is, like, I don't agree with the whole franchise of The Real Housewives because I'm a housewife and my life is so 180 degrees from what those women do. Is it on the same premise? Like, are they going to make you be shallow like these women seem to be? I know there's a lot of editing, but you do a lot of good stuff for the community and...
Well, they can't,
you know,
they can't make you something you're not. Like, I am never going to get into, at least my intention is never to, get into a fist fight in the middle of a bar. That's just not in my makeup. It's not in my makeup to have shouting matches in public. I don't think I've ever done that with a guy, ever.
What happened when you and Mark went to the football game this year?
Got thrown out of a bar.
I got drunk at a bartender that I didn't know, and I yelled at him. So it's happened one time.
And you got thrown out of a bar.
Yeah. And I did get thrown out, so...
They would turn that into something
That'd
huge.
Be
oh, yeah, that would be great for them, right.
That'd be a whole storyline.
Exactly.
Story
That's the bad thing, because you do... You're a whole different type of person than what their franchise is about, and I just... I don't know.
But
I hope they don't try to spin it into a shallow light.
Look, there has to be some spin on it, and there has to be some drama to it. There has to be, or they wouldn't put all the money in to create the show. And their hope going into season one is you're going to be so intrigued that there's a season two. So they're going to have to come up with some reasons to make it dramatic. Now, there are other guys that I know that they're talking to on the show that have more of a dramatic lifestyle than I do. Mm-hmm. They are more emotional than I am. They have a what's the word I'm looking for? Just a shorter fuse than I do. Mm-hmm. So they may get that from some guys, and I be cast in a different role.
Think about the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, you know, NeNe and Kim and are like the main characters that you know fight. But then there are a couple on there that are the peacemakers that are ended up in the middle of their drama all the time and have to talk to them and talk to them and talk to them that aren't cast in a bad light. So, you know, there is the possibility, just playing devil's advocate, that you would not be the bad guy. You'd actually be the, guys, come on, let's, you know, calm down.
Mm-hmm. Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Could be.
But they don't cast you for no reason. They don't cast a peacemaker. They cast...
But they become
well,
one
I have
on
a
the
feeling,
show.
Though, with the way that Bert and Stacey have been feeling about the whole thing, that if you are cast, if you are presented with it, and it's like, okay, if you want it, it's yours, I think you guys are having a really hard time turning it down.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
Why?
I don't know. That's the vibe I get.
Because it's like
I really am not leaning either way.
Exciting opportunity.
Stacey seems a little bit more excited about it than I am, I got to tell you. Actually, a lot more excited about it than I am. So, I don't know. We should probably know something over the next couple of weeks, though, and then we'll really have to sit down and really discuss it, because then it gets serious.
Okay.
But at this time, it's still just a whole bunch of fantasy and
right.
sort of damage control before there's any answer at all. So, we'll keep you guys posted.
This is The Bert Show. This is The Bert Show.
I've never been a gun person. I never liked guns. I have always been kind of scared of them, to be honest with you. I didn't grow up around them. And so I've always been frightened of them. And always my opinion on guns was always pretty negative and, you know, pretty pretty opinionated when it came to people with children having them in the house and all these other kinds of things. But something happened to me over Christmas holiday that... really changed my mind. I actually shot a gun for the very first time over the Christmas holidays. I was with a bunch of friends and we were at a river house in North Florida, right on the Chipola River. And they've got like this big, huge property, lots of acreage out there. And they've got all kinds of hunting stuff going on out there. So they do like quail hunts and duck hunts and deer hunts and all this stuff on this property where we were staying. So I went out there with some friends and actually one of my best friend's husbands was like, have you ever shot a gun before? And I was like, no. And he's like, come on, let's go. So we went out and it was just the clay pigeons. I don't think I could shoot anything that was like actually alive, but I shot a 22
and a shotgun, and I loved it.
Did you?
Really?
I loved it. I couldn't believe it.
Did it kick as much as I'm assuming it kicks, like it jacks up your shoulder and all that? Or is
well,
this,
a 22 is like a little bit above a BB gun. Okay. So that one, no, not at all.
Is that a handgun or is that a rifle?
It's like a long rifle. I know nothing shotgun. About
so
it.
So when you say you shot a 22, you use 22 rifle.
Rifle.
Not a handgun. Okay.
And then the other one was a shotgun, like long one, rifle. And that one definitely had some kickback.
Really?
And I think he took a lot of pleasure in giving me that one. He's like, yeah, just try this one. And I said, well, is this one going to be any different? He's like, nah, not much different.
Oh,
and then when I came back, I was like screaming all kinds of words I can't say on the radio. He had a good laugh on
were
that.
Were you able to hit anything? Like when they were firing off the
pigeon things? Yes, I actually got pretty good at the targets after
That's a little while.
Awesome. Yeah, after a few rounds, I was like reloading it myself. The guys were bored with it and done, like ready to go back. They're like, yeah, let's go drink beer. I'm like, come on, one more. Give me another round.
That's awesome.
So it was weird. It like tapped into some sort of like something and I loved it. So now I want to like go back and shoot more. And I feel like my, you know, my opinions on guns are like completely changing after that one experience.
Now you were raised with guns, yeah. Weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, my father, my brother had racks of rifles in the house and yeah, they hunted and I learned how to shoot a gun, a bow and arrow, and all that stuff in elementary school. And yeah, I was raised with gun safety, as you know, because that's my biggest argument is gun safety. But yeah, so I am totally comfortable with guns. Katie Jo and I have a gun in the house, so I mean, we're totally comfortable with guns.
See, that still scares me.
Really?
That would still scare me to have one in my house.
I'd be nervous if I was Katie Jo, because you get heated sometimes.
Have you seen Katie Jo?
That is true.
I've met my match.
That's a valid point.
Have you ever shot a gun, Wendy?
I've never shot a gun. I'm too scared of guns, but I grew up with guns. My dad's a hunter. There's always rifles in the house. He was in the military, so I grew up around guns. I just don't like guns. I don't even want to be in the same room
but
as guns.
But see, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought until I had one in my hand. And when I first shot it, I was like, oh, wait a second. This is kind of cool. And then when I hit the first target and that clay pigeon blew up, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
I'm petrified.
Because many people... Guns is a sport. Like everybody associates guns with crime.
With crime and
violence,
but the
violence, majority of people use guns for sport.
For hunting
Stacy is so anti. I'd love to have a gun in the house, but Stacy is... so anti, like she won't let the kids play any kind of video games that have guns.
Fake guns.
She won't allow them to have toy guns in the house. When we were on the Disney cruise, seriously, Captain Hook gave Hayden a gun in his hand to take a picture with, and you could see the fear on Hayden's face because he knows he's not supposed to have his hands on a gun. That's how hardcore she is about it.
Wow. Has she ever shot a gun?
I don't think she has.
I'm
which surprises
you.
Me, I mean, because she's living like the middle of Pennsylvania where that kind of thing's, you know, it's pretty common.
People shoot other people all the time.
I was scared of them. I was terrified of it. But after that experience, and I mean, it was like one afternoon for maybe an hour and a half we were out there. And I mean, I was like, it totally changed my world around. And that whole world, I want to like learn more. I want to go to a shooting range here. And just like to be able to learn about it and be more educated about it. And I think that's why, Melissa, you're not scared of it because you've been around them. You've had your hands on them.
But I understand the danger of them,
the danger and the safety and, you know, what you need to do to be safe around them and all that kind of stuff. I think the more you know about anything, the less you fear it.
A gun is an extension of a person. So if that person is into sporting or that person is into crime, the gun is going to be used for that purpose.
Right.
The gun itself... in your closet or on a rack or on the table or whatever is not going to all of a sudden come to life and do something on its own. You know what I mean?
Here's Amber. Good morning, Amber. You're on Q100.
Hey, how are y'all? Jeff, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
I was calling to let y'all know that I think when a woman shoots a gun, she feels empowered. And then lots of times, because I was the same way Jen was and Wendy for a long time, and I'm divorced now, but when I used to go to the cabin and not hunt with my husband, but at the time, he let me shoot the gun, and it was awesome. I was like, Jim, I was like, oh, my God, this is just killer, and I was actually a better shot than he was.
Yeah.
So it was, and I've never shot a gun. It's just like, I think it's just something with empowerment. You can do something that a man does, and you can do it as well as they are, if not better. So I think it's awesome. So, Jen, I understand exactly. I mean, I don't go out and shoot a gun all the time, but it is awesome.
Yeah,
so,
I'm definitely going to go to a shooting range here and learn more about it and that kind of thing. It blew my mind because I was so afraid. Like, that first shot that I took, I was so scared of it. I had to, like, put it down and, like, I was, like, shaking my hands. And I was like, whoo, whoo,
okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And thank goodness, it was like my best friend's husband that was there. It was like, just do it. I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Hey, Jason, good morning. You are on Q100.
Hi. I think a whole lot of people that have never shot guns or have never been around guns are just very scared because they don't know that, you know, gun safety comes along with having guns. It's right. Not just going out and buying a gun. It's knowing how to be safe with a gun and then using that knowledge to be someone that can teach others how to be safe with guns and then go out and use it effectively.
Well, I've been around guns, and I'm still freaked out even being around guns now. Like, I don't even want to be in the same room as a gun. I don't want to have to see a gun. I don't want to touch a gun. So I grew up with guns in the household, and I'm still afraid.
Really?
Yeah. I think it would change if you actually fired one.
Yeah, I don't know if I could. I don't even know if I could be in a shooting range.
Come on.
I wish I could remember the name of that place, because those guys were great. Remember I did it live on the air?
Because
I had never fired a gun up until a couple years ago, and those were handguns.
And that's what I want to shoot next.
Yeah, I'll try to find it because I have a gift certificate. Phil Tarana actually gave me, because he went with me, remember?
Uh-huh.
And he was like, he saw how much I loved it. So he gave me a gift certificate that I still have kicking around the house somewhere. So I'm going to find that. It was up in Marietta, right off Cobb Parkway, like in a strip mall almost.
Really?
But the shooting range was like underground, you know, and you shoot in it.
I have a feeling in Georgia there's a lot of shooting ranges.
There's a few options, I'm guessing.
Frankly, I am glad you didn't have access to a gun the last couple of weeks.
Well, if I go, Wendy, would you come with me?
Maybe. I'm really petrified. Like, somebody had one literally in their car and they had a license for it. I had to get out of the car.
That's how Stacy is.
If Katie and I and Jen take you to a shooting range, would you go?
Maybe.
I'll go.
I'd shake the entire time, but I'll go.
Because I would just be interested to see that after you have one in your own hand, you actually shoot it yourself, if your opinion doesn't change, you know?
You may turn into Rambo, because you got that in you.
She's going to come in with her.
And
the black paint.
Sleep-deprived than any of
knife
us.
Knife in the mouth.
It's the Burt Show.